everyone, and welcome to I Came Hell to Ween, our very spooky, very frightening, very dramatic Halloween special. Ooh. Will it be a trick? Will it be a treat? Will it be a misdemeanor? Will it be a felony? Remains to be seen.
The spectrum is wide open here. We don't know what's going to happen.
We have no idea. That's the magic of the witching hour.
Consult with the spirits, listener. Will they tell you what's going to happen? What price will you pay for such dread knowledge?
If indeed one could call it knowledge, if you have the fortitude to sort through the ramblings of minds twisted from a view into the abyss, the likes of which you cannot begin to speculate about. Nick is here.
I have been doing my best pumpkin noises impersonations. Have they been working?
Yeah, I thought pumpkin for real.
Yeah.
I'm glad that everybody is just as into the holidays as I am then. Yes, hello, it's me.
Hiding under a bedsheet costume, it's Kirsten.
Ooh. You could call this a costume or you could just call it my usual Saturday... I guess it's not Saturday.
Yeah.
But my usual mode of being is under blankets.
This is true. Who sold her all those eggs? It's Kathleen.
15, 16. Yep. It's all there.
What are you going to do with those eggs?
I mean, in my line of work, discretion is valuable.
Wow. A pioneer, truly. And I am your ghost king, Kat.
Ooh. The ghostest with the mostest.
So you may have heard us play this game before on the channel. We are here to play I Came Here to Win, a game we wrote about reality TV. But spooky time.
Yeah, we're going to make it spooky this time.
Yeah, my pitch, everybody, is that this is just like Big Brother, but it's a Halloween party.
Nice. Yep.
So, like, they're given tasks by the producers, but ultimately they kind of vote each other off.
Okay. Are they as committed to the bit as, like, a Dragula is?
My pitch was, like, it is a house party. It is a Halloween house party.
Okay.
So, like, my argument is that people are not very committed to the bit. They're at a Halloween party.
Yeah, I can picture that. And we'll see where my characters take me.
So... if you're not familiar with I Came Here to Win, by the way, you can find that on peachgardengames.com. Basically, everyone has multiple characters, and everyone takes turns being the producer and drawing a card to describe what kind of challenges the characters have to face. Then the characters will pick an approach for how they deal with the problem, and we do a little narration before finding out who rolled the lowest and who gets voted out. So, it is neither a particularly dark nor particularly stormy night. The streets are well lit, and while the party started late at night, it is still early enough that there are trick-or-treaters on the streets. Little ones waddling around in big fat pumpkin costumes, carrying pillowcases, which are by now full of Snickers, both full size and small.
This neighborhood's pretty good.
It is. This is the home of... not the host, who I'm going to call Brian. And everyone spells it differently. They are notoriously evasive. But Brian, you see, has a wealthy aunt and uncle in the suburbs and has promised to house sit for them and convince them that they will under no circumstances throw a party. Kathleen, who is the first guest at Brian's party?
Jeremy Saltz wanders in like... pretty early. He is dressed as an old-timey the devil. Ooh. With a little bit of a modern twist. It's like, you know, sexy leather cat suit with the tail that's kind of got the spade shape and the little horns.
Yeah.
Got slicked back hair, a nice Vincent Price mustache, and like clearly spurged or had for other reasons the red leather cat suit and was just looking for an excuse to wear it. Jeremy might be that kind of guy.
Jeremy's great. How does Jeremy know Brian?
Like, Jeremy and Brian go way back, you know? Like, They've done some collabs together on TikTok.
Okay.
Their parents know each other. They're really probably friends because the people around them are friends, but they've made the best of it.
That's beautiful when you think about it. Nick, who else is at this party?
One of Brian's other friends is the eccentric and currently dressed as some sort of deep sea creature, Jimmy Plank. Jimmy is here mostly because his parents told him to go do something that wasn't being obsessed with the ocean.
Oh, dear.
And they figured, like, talking to other human beings and not fish would be good for him. So he's here.
That's great to hear.
He's trying very hard to talk to other human beings and not talk about fish and the ocean. He is failing very hard.
We hate to see someone bum at a party.
I mean, Brian didn't set him up for success. There are goldfish crackers on the table.
Which Brian brought, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is at this party?
So there's a knock at the door.
Brian hurries to answer the door. Our host, who we're all going to kind of be sharing custody of, but I would like to pitch our host is dressed like an angel.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
With a little, like, wire and tinsel halo.
Cute.
And some prop wings.
Oh, I guess I made it. Hi, Brian. 416 Main Street. Cool. So,
cool.
I guess we don't live too far, hey?
No, this is my aunt and uncle's place.
Ah, cool. Gotcha.
Cool.
Awesome. I'm going to go check out snacks. Thanks for the invite. So we just met Peter, who is Brian's coworker. Peter is dressed as Van Wellspring, the haunted carburetor of a van who is also a vampire hunter.
Hey, Kirsten, what the fuck?
There are many layers to this joke.
I told you I went real weird with it.
You did tell us, and we did not listen.
So is Van Wellspring, like, a popular, like, character?
No. Peter has to explain the costume the whole night.
I'm loving this because my first character is Vladimir Alexandrov. He is not a vampire. He is dressed as the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
please
nice.
Stop asking if he's a Dracula. He just has an accent. He's from Ukraine, and his name is just Vladimir. That's a normal name for a guy to have. He's wearing a cape. He's the Phantom of the Opera. Do not be weird.
Mm-hmm.
He's been working with Peter and Brian for a bit. You would describe Vladimir as the kind of guy who has, like, unexpected skills and interests. He doesn't talk about himself much. But I must reiterate, he is not a Dracula. Please stop asking him.
Gotcha. Phantom of the Opera.
Which the Phantom of the Opera is he?
I think we're talking the old film. He's got simple classic tastes.
Very nice.
So, in the same order, I suppose, Kathleen, I would love for you to tell me which deck of cards I am going to draw our first challenge from.
Oh, how about a spade?
I have drawn the Queen of Spades. Nerding out. You and someone else, either another character or a judge, nerd out about the task for a while. It's just really endearing.
Oh, nice.
Inspired by our favorite Forged in Fire character. By that, I mean personality. He's a real guy.
He's a real guy, but sometimes he just gets really excited about talking about the knives, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. So what's the first task at Brian's Halloween house party meets Big Brother?
Well, it's too early for beer pong. It's just way too early to beer pong. The table is there. The cups are ready. And Brian keeps, like, seeing people look over there and is like, not yet.
Not yet.
Bro, not yet.
Not yet, bro.
There will be a place and a time, and the place is here. And the time is, like, you'll feel it and you'll know.
Hey, is it shots time?
That's the thing. It is shots time. You can hear it reverberating in the walls like ancient chanting. Shots, 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 Shots. The fireball erupts from the walls. There is cinnamon-flavored whiskey. There are shot glasses. They are held in the air. And... oh, shoot, I have to nerd out about something.
Yeah, you have to... somebody else at the party and your character are just big old nerds about shots.
You know, I guess maybe that's what Jeremy does on social media. Jeremy, like, would like to be an influencer. And maybe his thing right now is shots connoisseurship. You know, like that guy who was like a Twitter main character for a little while after explaining how to throw the ideal party.
Oh my God. I haven't been following Twitter this season.
That's probably for the best. This was from a while ago.
Yeah, the new season's pretty bad. They redid all the iconography and like they got a new director. It's not the same.
It's not the same. So who's going to nerd out about throwing the perfect party with Jeremy? I'll tell you who's not.
It's not Brian.
Not Brian.
It's also probably not Jimmy because this doesn't sound like the ocean.
Yeah.
I did say Peter was going towards the snack table, and I'm assuming that the shots, the bar, and the snack table are somewhat in the same vicinity?
Yeah. Want me to get out the party battle map, Kirsten? I don't have a tactical imagining of this space.
So, yeah, Peter is by the snacks, has a handful of goldfish, and is taking a sniff of a shot glass, just like very invested in looking at the color of the you said whiskey, right?
Yeah, it's for sure Fireball. And Jeremy says as much. There's nothing that starts an evening like Fireball.
Oh, really? I don't think I've tried this particular one before.
No, it goes down smooth. It doesn't have that astringency that your Jägermeister does. No, Fireball, it's nice and easy. It gets everybody going on.
Ah.
So, my friend, to a fucking lit evening. Jeremy's trying to play his devil character with a little bit of elegance.
Trying.
To a lit evening. And Peter clinks glasses.
And Jeremy absolutely takes the shot with the worst kind of sputter.
Oh yeah, straight Fireball is brutal.
Yeah. Classic.
Okay. What do you say we get some rolls here then? Vladimir is rolling his best stat, which is experience. He knows all kinds of surprising things. He's been a bartender. He's good at shots.
Hmm.
He rolled a 5. I think given what he has available at Brian's party, he makes like a perfectly serviceable, if slightly sweet, shot that people don't hate.
Peter is going to use innovation. This is the first time Peter's taken the fireball shot. So it is a new experience. And actually got a really good roll, got 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Recovered from the sputtering better than expected.
I think Jimmy's got to use innovation here because drinking is not the ocean. Therefore, his experience doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to improvise here. He's got to reach deep within himself to like the abyssal pelagic zone of his soul to come out with something about this fireball that isn't just like a fish fact. He rolled an 8. He's got something in there. It's probably still kind of fish-like.
You know what this would taste great with? A fish. Wait, crap.
Jeremy's gonna roll personality. He's like taking selfies, gonna go right onto Instagram. Hopefully Brian's aunt and uncle do not follow him there. He also rolls an 8.
Okay. Why is the one person who seems to be taking this seriously? I think rather than getting voted out, I think Vlad's just like, I cannot with this. I cannot with this. Vlad's been a bartender. Vlad cannot with this. And is like, sorry, I just got an important text message. And like, walks out the front door without looking at his phone.
Aw, we love Vlad.
The evening is young. He's got other places he could almost certainly be.
He's got better places to be, and he's not a Dracula. And my next character is a small figure, only stands about 4 feet tall, inside of a cardboard box covered in aluminum foil. The cardboard box has had several knobs and dials painted upon it, and has a wire coat hanger sticking out the top for an antenna. The arms are covered with flexible ducting, and clutching a pillowcase full of Snickers, full-size and regular. And this is Timofrey. He's dressed as a robot.
Uh-huh.
And he wants candy.
I mean, don't we all? It's Halloween.
He sees everyone. I think Vlad leaves the door open, and the next thing you know, there's this little robot suit figure, like, at the snack table, eating fistfuls of goldfish crackers.
Amazing.
I love Halloween! Let's party!
Party, party, party.
Brian comes over and is like, hey, who are you?
Timofrey?
Mm-hmm. Were you invited?
Yeah.
I don't think you were invited.
Lasers! Pew, pew, pew.
All right, you know, you know what, bro? Just don't tell my aunt. I think we'll probably be okay.
Yeah. And the little hands, which are covered in, like, silver-colored, clearly winter gloves, make two little tiny thumbs-ups. Nick, it's your turn to be the producer.
All right. The producer is not having fun because Jimmy will not stop telling him about pistol shrimp.
But they're so cool, actually. Pistol shrimp?
Oh, God damn it.
Seriously, they're one of the loudest creatures on the planet.
Nature's podcasters.
And the producer, who is currently talking with Jimmy and or Kirsten at this point about pistol shrimp, needs to find something for them to do that isn't talking to them. We need some drama. We need a pull from the hearts deck.
Drama! Three hearts. The judges hated it. Permanently bump your innovation down a die type.
Oh, no. Oh, that does make sense, though. That is actually very, very on brand.
Hey, have you talked to, like, the fish guy? You mean Simone? No. No, Simone's dressed as a fish. I'm talking about the fish guy.
Whoa!
It's not just fish, it's the ocean. Shrimp aren't fish. Fish don't really exist. Fish is something that you find on the menu at a restaurant. There is no fish taxonomy. It's not real. It doesn't exist.
No, fish is real. I saw one once.
What you saw, we call a fish. But what is a fish?
Timofrey has already walked off.
See, people don't know these things. They need to know the truth about what fish are and how they live in the ocean. Now, here, hold on. Let me pull up some diagrams on my phone.
I think at that point, Van Wellspring grabs a drink from Jimmy so it doesn't spill.
From behind the couch, a lone goldfish cracker sails through the air and hits Jimmy.
Oh.
There's a phantom sound of giggling.
Ah, goldfish cracker is my favorite. I think the challenge for this episode, and this is going to be kind of a weird split challenge, and it's Jimmy has to find someone to talk to about the ocean, and everyone else has to avoid him.
Oh.
So the challenge is more one that Jimmy is posing to the party by doing a party foul.
Again, the judges absolutely hate this, but nobody seems to be able to stop him.
Oh, the poor dude.
So, Timofrey is rolling innovation. Timofrey is a hide-and-seek champion. And does, in fact, get an 8. Where is the small robot adult? I promise you're grown up. No one knows.
Peter is going to roll experience. Peter has worked for many years as an adult in many different customer service places, thus knows how to exodus from conversations pretty darn quick when needs to. Oh, apparently rusty on that skill. Just a 2.
Woof.
I mean, you can still exit us from the conversation.
Jeremy kind of like scratches at his mustaches. He's kind of finding anyone to talk to. But everyone wants to hang around the snack bar. And so it kind of inevitable that you just run into poor Mr. Plank again. At one point, though, Jeremy does kind of say pointedly, like, I would give fucking anything for something better than this to happen. I am so bored. Because he rolls a 3 on personality.
Bad.
All that's left is Jimmy and his unwavering desire to speak to people about the ocean, which he is using personality. It is a personality. It is a strong personality. Is it a good one? Well, let's find out. Well, not really, but it is higher than most other people's. He rolled a 4.
Oh, we're getting weirder than Wellspring.
Yeah. I think Peter just kind of like looks up and is like, well, I... Bye. And then just heads out.
Off to the good party with Vlad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. After Peter leaves, you see a short, bustling woman dressed in kind of, it's kind of confusing because it's like a chef outfit, but then there's like blood on it and the face is all painted gray and there's blood coming down from the mouth, but she's got all this Tupperware and she's setting out more food on the table. Brains, sous vide, brains. And this is Sarah, who is actually Zed. Zed is a aspiring zombie chef.
What is an aspiring zombie chef?
Aspiring zombie chef wants to spread the love of the offal movement, cooking brains, you know? You can do brains all sorts of ways.
Okay.
In a pudding, sous vide. Another confusing costume that most people are like, are you a chef? Are you a zombie? Which one?
Is this a costume or is this just the thing that she does?
Sarah does like to cook, but the brains part is the costume. It's not actual brains in the Tupperware, I assure you.
Okay, because Jeremy was in fact asking her, like, so are these like actual brains?
Oh, no. It don't worry. It's liver pate.
I'm not sure if that's better somehow. But on the other hand, I'm not sure what's on the snack bar aside from goldfish crackers.
There's liver pate now.
But you can dip the goldfish crackers in it.
So what is the spread here? Because so far we've got fireball, liver pate, and goldfish crackers. We're doing really well so far.
Yeah. There was a good shot, but the person who made it left.
Yeah, so there aren't any good shots anymore.
Kirsten, what's the next party challenge?
I feel like we should do a diamond.
Number 6. No!
No?
Oh, Timofrey's in trouble. The 6 of diamonds is the dreaded clown-themed episode. Nobody gets to roll personality this episode.
Oh, no.
What happens to turn this party clown-shaped?
What has Brian done?
What has Brian done?
I mean, obviously an actual clown is here. It's a Halloween party. There is a clown here.
So there's this, like, you hear the honk-a-honk, honk-honk-honk-honk-honk, a commotion, and busting through the front door is a trio of clowns. And they start singing, happy, happy Halloween, happy, happy Halloween. We hear there's a person wanting to celebrate Halloween, happy, happy Halloween. Honk, honk. There's been a mix-up. The clownogram went to the wrong address, and now they're here.
They're unfortunately overshadowing a lot of the guests. Well, after Jimmy's unfortunate run-in, Jimmy does not have anything better than weak.
Oh, no.
Clowns are his kryptonite, I guess.
Oh.
Maybe Jimmy's chlorophobic.
Oh.
He is mortified.
Jimmy is just striking out so hard.
Aw.
Jimmy's mom, I know that you thought you were doing a nice thing for Jimmy, Jimmy's mom, but like...
No, this is not going great for Jimmy. So the only thing Timofey can roll here, or should roll, is innovation. What's an innovative way for an adult, not a seven-year-old, and not a real robot, but someone in a very cunning robot costume, to solve a clown problem? I think Timofey is going to do his most unconventional problem solving. And this very often works at home when he's facing a problem he doesn't know how to deal with. That is to say, he starts screaming and grabbing fistfuls of food and throwing them at the clowns.
Nice.
Just screaming bloody murder. Tears, well, you can't really see them. They're inside a box. But you can assume that there's tears streaking down what is probably a small and chubby cheek little face.
He's really scared.
No! 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 And you can't really get anything more articulate out of him right now. But he did roll an 8.
Goodness.
Maybe he's feeling empowered now.
He has the strength of the machine.
Yeah.
Jimmy can only try and survive. He is in the middle of talking about probably something, and when clowns come, he's no, not clownfish, not, and just stops dead in his tracks when he sees the trio of clowns. And he rolls very poorly. He rolls a 2 on 1D, on 1 die.
Oh no!
If only Jimmy could rest in a sea anemone right now.
It's like in the soft embrace of the tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is trying very hard, but he was not prepared.
Well, here's the thing, is that Jeremy knows exactly what to do right now and is filming. He's on Instagram right now. Party disasters. Something has happened. All of a sudden, this is not boring. What it is, he doesn't know. But it seems like someone heard him. And hopefully, so will his followers.
He did a deal with Satan accidentally.
Yeah, he did. He rolled an 8.
Nice.
I love Jeremy. I do. I love him very much. I also love Jimmy, though, so... But we gotta see how Sarah rolls.
Sarah thinks this is a bit, that there were people that came dressed as clowns, and that was part of the party. So Sarah's like, Oh, if they're going to get into character, I'm going to get into character. So using innovation, Sarah yes-ands them and is like, brains, grabs a handful of the liver pate and like kind of tackles one of the clowns and pretends to be eating the brain of the clown.
Oh, that terrifies the adult, not really a small child.
Oh, no. Oh.
I think the screaming and throwing intensifies.
Yeah, and Sarah gets a 4. It does not go over well for several reasons.
Jeez, I think it's time for, does Jimmy just bolt?
I think when all of this clown business is over, Jimmy is gone.
Just gone.
He has retreated to the safety of the ocean.
Oh.
Honestly, I love that for him. Jimmy deserves better than this party.
I'm starting to think a lot of people deserve better than this party.
Yeah, this party absolutely is not great.
I like how everybody who's left is just kind of like gone.
Yeah.
I think that everyone who's here still is got to be embracing the chaos of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what our new face is doing, Nick?
So standing in the back of the room, having been there the whole time, is Robert Smith, who is... According to his shirt, which many people are asking him questions about, which his shirt has already answered, a normal human man.
Welcome to the party.
He just also happens to be about 7'8" and wears a size 34 shoe.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's normal.
You know what they say about men with big feet? Big shirts.
Big shirts, also completely normal. I decided to draw 2 cards because I'm like that. I have decided to draw a club because we haven't drawn any yet, and a heart. Queen hearts, which is great because I also drew queen spades. Queen Hearts is extremely attractive guest judge. And clubs is the next big thing. You actually change the face of the task forever over the course of the challenge. So I think the extremely attractive guest judge is Brian's twin.
Oh.
Brian's twin shows up and clearly they had planned on doing like an angel and devil thing, but Brian's twin took it way more seriously. Is also dressed like a Satan, like Jeremy is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
More like a suit and top hat Satan than a cat suit mm-hmm. Satan.
Oh.
But still very good. Like, definitely put more effort into the costume than Brian did. Looks great. Everyone at the party can agree. It's like, how are you two identical twins when one of you is so hot and the other one is not? Do not say that to Brian. Brian has been hearing that for a long time.
Yeah, it's a sore spot.
But I think, like, immediately walks in, sees Jeremy, does finger guns, like, hey, same hat.
Oh my God, you look so good.
You look so good.
You look so good. Hey, selfie.
Selfie.
Two scratches, huh?
You know what they say. A scratch in the hand is worth you know what? Honestly, I have been pre-gaming. How's the party?
The party has gotten hot. Things are going. Things are going. I think someone is eating someone's brains. They're screaming. There's fireball. And, you're here now?
And I'm here now. The Queen of Clubs is the next big thing. So what I would like to pitch is that whoever wins this challenge, Jeremy uploads whatever they do to social media and it becomes like a viral challenge.
Ooh.
So Brian has decided that it is time for beer pong. It is too early for beer pong, but Brian is desperate.
Brian needs to regain control of this party somehow.
Yeah, Brian desperately needs to get control of this party and is like, okay, we're playing beer pong.
I don't know how to do that.
I'll teach you.
Yeah.
It is a fun, normal game for normal people.
I think Brian goes up to the clowns and is just like, hey, I think you want to be two doors down at 17, not 15.
Honk, honk. Oh, whoop, whoop, whoop. Sorry. So we're sorry. We're on our way. We're on our way. We're on our way.
Yeah.
We're on our way.
Usually it's them. Yeah. Usually this happens. My aunt's neighbors really like clowns.
Our mistake. Our mistake.
Bad timing.
Our mistake. See you later.
Are they really going to see me later?
No, that is just a saying.
Okay.
A normal human saying. I know these things.
Yeah, I think Timofrey is now just like attached to Robert. Just like, this is someone who can protect me from the clowns.
Aww.
So it's time to play beer pong. Timofrey is going to roll personality because, listen, he's not playing beer pong. He's going to try to convince someone to give him a sip of beer. He rolls a 10.
Oh, no.
Robert and Timofrey are playing beer pong on the same team, or at least that's what Robert is assuming. And he is innovating by just picking up Timofrey and hoisting him over the other cup so Timofrey can just drop the ping pong ball in them.
Nice.
Oh, Timofrey takes advantage of this to take a sip of beer. Does not like it. Hates it. And so has decided to change the rules of beer pong.
Mm-hmm.
Is now picking up the beer pong cups and throwing them at the other beer pong cups to knock them over. And that, I think, is what Jeremy photographs, is this actual adult robot being hoisted over a beer pong table and just hucking the beers at each other.
Good.
And because Robert is being innovative, he gets to roll a D10. He rolls a 9.
Nice.
Yeah.
Robert is very good at lifting small things.
Yeah, take that. Blech. Yuck.
This is how beer pong is played. This is normal.
Yeah.
Normal human beer pong.
Brian is beside themselves. No, wait, they're standing next to their hot twin again. Damn it.
Yeah. What is hot twin's name?
Byron.
Byron. Their parents are jerks.
Byron even has a hotter name.
This is true, yeah.
See, Jeremy is now seeing it as his mission to document this party because clearly things have gotten completely out of control and it's amazing. So he's going to roll personality.
Yeah.
And gets a 4. Maybe it's not as amazing as he thinks it is.
It's perfectly normal.
Take that.
Maybe it's not lit. Maybe this is just chaos.
Now, I think Sarah sees this unconventional beer pong and takes out a spatula from the apron of her zombie chef costume and starts using the spatula to kind of like flip the cups into the other cups or like knock the cups into other cups. And it's going to roll innovation. Also yeah. Got a 4. It's not going so well. It's mostly just making more of a mess. She's already covered in like fake blood and liver pate and clown grease makeup.
Clown grease?
Clown grease.
Yeah, grease paint.
Clown grease? I know what she meant, but clown grease?
I know the words came out of my mouth and then...
Clown grease. So we have 2 4s. How do we resolve this? We have to roll off.
All right. I think with the fail of causing more like spillage and not doing it properly, Sarah's just going to double down and pull out a second spatula because of course she has 2 in her apron and is going to dual wield the spatulas this time. Goes even worse. 3.
Well, so here's the thing. Jeremy had the moment of weakness, but then he sees the second spatula come out. But more importantly, he looks at Byron again. And we are so back.
We're so back.
We are so back. He rolls an 8.
Nice. Well, after failing at the beer pong, I think Sarah just kind of like looks down at this 2 spatulas, kind of like touches her face smeared in liver pate and grease paint.
Clown grease, excuse me.
Yeah, it is called clown grease.
And just kind of in a daze, slowly walks towards the door and leaves. This is what this evening had become. Sarah was not expecting that, and now Sarah has left.
So, typically speaking, in I Came Here to Win, Kirsten is out of character, so Kirsten takes over as perma producer.
Well, I think it is time for some more drama. We're going to draw from the hearts again.
The ace, oh no, oh wait, oh crap. The ace of hearts, a dramatic return. One of the eliminated contestants comes back to the game.
Right on time, so who waltzes back into our lives?
I think Van Wellspring just kind of wanders in the door.
Yeah! Sure. Like, so.
Where have you been? Things are crazy. Oh my God, says the man dressed as the devil.
What happened here? It's gone crazy. Wait, let me check my feed.
Are you a robot?
Wait, that was this party? No.
That was this party, Peter.
Hey.
Peter, that was this party.
Are you a robot? Hey.
I am a haunted carburetor that hunts vampires.
Oh.
Yeah.
Peter, we are so back.
We are so back.
Mr. Robot, I don't think I met you before.
I'm Timothy.
Sup?
Sup?
Peter, have you met this tall drink of water?
Oh.
Hello, Peter. I am Robert. I am a normal human man. Hello. Yes.
Yeah, I'd say you're more than a normal man.
Robert just changed the fucking face of Pong for forever, bro.
Right? Right? That's you. We're here.
And he gave me a beer.
Sick. Awesome.
No, the Pong, it is normal Pong. These are normal things.
Wait. Okay, we need to all take a group shot. Come on, everybody. Group selfie.
I think the selfie might be the challenge.
The selfie's the challenge, you're right.
Ooh.
Which means, yeah, you hear a big and enthusiastic cheese from inside the suit. Timofrey did get a 3, though. He forgot that he's wearing his robot hat, his robot head, and no one can see his cute little gap-tooth smile.
Robert's head is out of frame.
What did Robert roll?
Robert has to roll personality here. But unfortunately, because his head is out of frame, he only rolled a 1.
No.
No, my big friend.
No. Oh, not like this.
No, we need in the frame.
Well, honestly, this is not Jeremy's best work in the evening. He rolls a 5, but like, maybe it's just because he's standing next to a box and someone who is so tall that he's not managed to be in frame for any footage for the entire night.
It's a difficult shot.
It's hard to look cute like that.
Does Jeremy pull it off? Arguably.
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 But you did have to argue it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, isn't it? What about the returned Peter?
Peter's got this. Peter's been in selfies before. Oh, a 4. Apparently, Peter is not as experienced in taking selfies as thought.
I think, actually, because it is Robert's 1, not only is he somewhat out of frame, but he's blurry and sort of moving away.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time anyone gets the photo to be like, hey, where's Robert? They look out the back and he's just dashing into the woods.
Aww.
He has an aversion to photos.
Yeah.
Jeremy is shedding a tear. He feels privileged to have seen this moment, even if it was documented like in not a super cute fashion.
What a legend. What an absolute legend that we got to witness today.
Yeah.
Nick, what should I draw next?
So I think we've had a tremendous amount of drama, but I think what we've been lacking, though, is we need some more experience.
Spade. Okay. I've drawn the 5 of spade. 7 of spades. A story about your parents. Bump your experience up a die type this episode because you don't have any characters left. You pick someone to bump their experience up.
I think this has been a very heavy learning experience for Timofrey. He's learned a great many things about the way that parties work and about how much he hates beer.
Yeah. I think like Timofrey, in the style of many grown adults who aren't 7, does not tell complete stories and just kind of looks up at Jeremy and says, "My dad always said the devil was a real guy." And then like walks off.
Aww.
And everyone's just like, what kind of house does this kid live in? And what's our next party challenge?
I think it's one of the most dangerous party challenges. Placating the neighbors when you're getting too loud so they don't call the police. There's a knock at the door. It's the neighbors. Mostly they're kind of upset that the clown-gram they ordered came over covered in like liver pate. The clowns seem to be okay with it, but they are very much not.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think it's time for Timofrey to roll personality. Oh, he got a 9. Oh, this little robot-suited kid waddles up.
I'm sorry about all the yelling and throwing things at the clowns. They scared me a lot. I shouldn't have yelled, though. I know that yelling when you have big feelings is normal, but it makes people startled, so you shouldn't do it. But I forgot. I'm sorry.
I think the neighbors are probably, they're a little taken aback by this sincere and honest response from this small robot, robot adult human man and not child.
Not a child, no.
Absolutely not a child.
Well, Jeremy's going to continue to roll personality and strikes out, rolls a 1.
Oh.
I think he makes the mistake of suggesting that this might in fact be trending right now. Just roll with it. It's incredible. And I think that doesn't go over well at all.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Timofrey's there to pull him out of the fire. But I think that Jeremy starts to realize that maybe he's gotten exactly what he asked for, and maybe that wasn't what he really wanted, because there's a couple comments on Instagram right now being like, dude, is that a 7-year-old playing beer pong?
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy, if it isn't the consequences of his action. And Jeremy decides to bolt. And as he is running out the back door, he passes Carrie Packer, a drag king.
Nice.
Is dressed up as Carmi from The Bear, the TV drama about chefs. So that is to say that Carrie has just a pretty thin, like kind of nigh see-through white shirt and a blue apron and slicked backed hair with bold blonde and dirty blonde waves sort of streaked through and immaculately applied stubble. I was like, what's his deal?
I think that's the real devil.
Well, I'm sure there's a folksy expression about that. Damned if I know.
Wait, you can say damn?
I mean, we're talking about the devil, right? It's okay if it's about the devil.
Oh, yeah. That's his word. So it's fine.
Carrie kind of looks over the shoulder, throws the robot a finger gun. And surely there's something at the snack table other than M&M's and liver pate and Fireball, because the Goldfish crackers are gone by now.
Oh, yeah. Many of those have been thrown.
Yeah, most of the goldfish left with the clowns. I was just going to say, seeing as I am producer, the producers say that now that we have someone new, it's been getting kind of really the neighbors swinging by. Not great. We need some innovation here. We're drawing clubs.
Okay, we're drawing clubs. Dose clubs. Bizarre materials. Everyone must roll innovation this episode. So what are we having to innovate about?
Yeah, I've got a couple of ideas. I might have something. If anyone else wants to jump in, though, like it might take me another little bit to wrench something together.
Oh, I've got a pitch.
Okay.
Brian has like retreated to the bathroom and locked himself in. They are just absolutely mortified that the neighbors came. I think we have to figure out a way to cheer Brian up and get them out of the bathroom.
Because there's no way that aunt and uncle aren't hearing about this now.
I like it. Timothy's going to try and be innovative.
He's got to try and be innovative.
No, I think Timothy is going to sit down outside the bathroom and go, I thought of a game we can play with the little bouncy balls. You want to come out and play with the little bouncy balls?
Got a 7. This kid rolls hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, this adult rolls hot.
This perfectly normal adult robot rolls good.
We can bounce the bouncy balls off of stuff and see who can bounce it fastest. Or farthest, maybe. I'm working on it still. But come play with us.
And what's Carrie do? How can Carrie innovate in this situation? You know what? I think Carrie's been quietly raging this whole time. Carrie finds a Sawzall somewhere in the closet. And is like, look, Brian, you can come out. Or I can take off the door. I don't have any personality yet, so I guess I'm unhinged.
Oh, no.
So with special guest Carrie Packer, rolls a 5.
Ooh.
I think Peter just, like, knocks on the door. Hey, bud? Sorry, but I gotta take a leak. Just, you know, direct. Unfortunately, not very observant as to our host's feelings. But got a 7.
I guess Carrie's the one who just storms out.
Carrie became a little too unhinged.
Carrie became a little too unhinged. I think everyone sees them going for the power tools and is like, no. No. No one's filming this anymore. You can't do this.
Yeah.
But I do think what we can do, though, for Carrie is this is as we have now gotten to the final challenge. I think it is up to Carrie to figure out what is the final thing that this party has to do before they leave.
Well, first I would like Kat to draw a heart and a diamond and another heart.
And another heart?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you said. So our first heart is the Jack, an actually cool guest judge.
Mm-hmm. An actually cool Jess Gudge.
It's Jess Gudge.
It's fucking Jess Gudge. I didn't know Brian knew Jess Gudge.
Internet super celebrity Jess Gudge.
Jess Gudge actually knows Byron.
Of course.
Oh.
And the Seven of Hearts is we have a returning winner. Describe a guest judge who has won this show before.
The problem is we already have Byron.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Byron is that guest judge. And Byron won their shared birthday party. Always does.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it, is now the party is kind of in Byron's control.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it stopped being Brian's party and all hopes are on Byron.
Byron and Jest.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we get one more draw?
Oh, yeah, there it is. The shout out to the fans. Someone gets to bump their personality up a die type this episode. Who is it?
I mean, it's got to be the robot. The robot's been at the nexus of all of this the entire night.
This is true.
I'll get out a D12.
This robot is stealing the show.
What is our final challenge?
How does this become an actually good party and not just an unmitigated disaster?
Okay.
Because that seems pretty challenging right now. Like, how do Timofrey and Peter and Jest and Byron salvage this evening?
I know what Peter's going to do.
What is Peter going to do?
Peter's going to order a whole bunch of pizza. Nothing makes a party great like a whole bunch of pizza. Going to roll experience. Peter's very experienced at ordering pizza. 9. People like the pizza.
All right. 9.
Nice.
I'm rolling a D12. Timofrey is rolling personality. He's still trying to get Brian to come along with him with this game he invented. Because, I mean, as far as he's concerned, if everyone has fun, it's a good party, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we did only get a 5. So I think, like, just as Brian lifts his head, there's a knock on the door. You hear, Timofrey Jefferson Crow! What are you doing? Do we know these people?
Yeah, this is my friend Brian. This is my friend the devil.
Oh, she does not like that. Oh, his mother does not like, this is my friend the devil. A young and clearly, like, frazzled woman. She's blonde. She started the night with a ponytail. It's all over the place now.
She's been looking everywhere for this kid.
She has. She grabs him by the arm. Is this beer? Why do you smell like beer?
It's okay. I didn't like it.
And then he is immediately dragged from the house. And he's like, bye. He just gets dragged home by his mom. And the winner of the party and the one who gets to eat all the pizza is Peter.
I think in the last shot, Peter kind of turns to the other guests and is like, Timofrey was the coolest guest, right? Right? Yeah. And then just takes a bite, stares at the camera, takes a bite of pizza.
Such an ending. That is one of the endings of all time.
I mean, it is a good way to win a party. Like, pizza is pretty good.
Pizza is pretty good.
That is the tale of Brian's Halloween party. Thank you all for joining us for I Hell Here to Ween. happy spooky time.
Have a happy spooky pumpkin time, everybody.
Happy spooky pumpkin time, happy listener. Bye. Happy
spooky pumpkin time. Woo.
Member of the Rainbow Roll Network. Rainbow Roll.
Our stories, our voices.